The Holy Gospel is from the 13th chapter of St. John. Now when Judas had gone out of that place, Jesus, in a gathering and conversation with his disciples, said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. And so I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I don't think I will surprise you by this particular statement, a statement that you've probably been hearing over and over again in the media or in worship or conversation with one another. We live in a very complicated world, don't we? I mean, it's remarkably complicated time and in a complicated world. The world is changing at a fast and furious pace, it seems. I mean, in fact, as you may have read, enough new data is produced every day, new data produced every day to fill the Library of Congress 250,000 times. Library of Congress is the largest library in the world. New data, enough produced every day to fill 250,000 libraries of Congress. It's phenomenal. It's remarkable. The UN reported that as of yesterday, there are 58 armed conflicts in the world today, currently, as we're speaking. And you may remember, because I certainly do, that as a child, I had access to 4 TV stations. You remember what they were? ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS, if you watch Sesame Street. Today, the average household has 190 TV stations. Now, it didn't seem to be all that long ago when we had essentially 2 ways of communicating with one another outside of just sort of spoken communication. What were they? The telephone and the handwritten letter. Today, of course, we've reached far beyond that. You've heard of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Snapchat, WhatsApp, Vine, Flickr, Tumblr, just to name a few. And, oh, when was the last time that you actually received a handwritten letter? We live in a remarkable age, in a complicated, fast-paced world where the playbook, it seems, changes day by day, if not hour by hour. It's a remarkable time in human history, to be honest. I mean, we live in what some historians are calling a fascinating turning point in world history that's driven by this technology and this sheer volume of data. But it does beg the question for you and for me, especially those times when we feel rather anxious in the midst of it all, how do we navigate those waters? How do we make our way in that kind of world? To which we return to today's gospel reading from Jesus, who was facing his own stress and anxiety in a world that was changing and a life that was changing, a significant turning point for them, for him, and for all of the world. And Jesus' only words to us were 3, these: love one another. In many respects, it was an incredibly simple, maybe overly simple message. And I will say that even today, this sermon is probably the simplest sermon that I will ever preach. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's really nothing here, I guess, to sort of pick at and read between the lines. There aren't really characters involved that we can sort of explore. It's not a story or a parable at all that we can just sort of dive into and uncover its context and all of that. Really, it's just 3 words. Say them with me. Love one another. And that's all we're going to take a look at today. These words, words that Jesus spoke to his disciples the night before he died on a cross. And since that time, words that have been called the mandatum, which means in Latin, the commandment. Because Jesus was offering these three words as a command to his disciples. But more than a command, it became a purpose for the church. In fact, it became a plan for you and for me to love one another. And oh, by the way, if you look, there is no other plan. There's no plan B. There's no alternative plan. This is it, friends. Love one another. It's a plan that is so simple and yet so difficult. And in this great turning point of world history, it's the only plan that matters. Love one another. To take a closer look at these three words, I'd like to tell two stories. That's it. I told you it was a simple sermon. Two stories that are rooted in this call to love one another. Two stories that literally, as a result, changed the world. The first story is set in Leipzig, Germany, the home of several of the folks who were visiting with us from Germany these last few weeks. It's a remarkable city in many respects. Some of the greatest names in all of music history found their home in Leipzig, from Schumann to Liszt to Wagner, and perhaps the greatest of all, Johann Sebastian Bach. A remarkable city with a remarkable history. And yet a city that lost part of its luster in the middle of the last century. Perhaps you remember why. Because Leipzig had the unfortunate distinction of being located right in the middle of the German Democratic Republic. Communist East Germany. It sat behind walls and fences. Life was hard. Religion was suppressed. Free speech was essentially eliminated. An entire population caged in by walls and fences and guard towers, all guarded by a secret police that was known as the Stasi, the most feared and hated institution in all of the country. But after being suppressed for so long and after facing that level of essentially division for so long, one Lutheran pastor, Pastor Christian Führer, had enough. In the mid-1980s, he began inviting the community to gather in his church, the St. Nicholas Lutheran Church in the middle of Leipzig, to begin gathering at 5 o'clock on Monday afternoons for a time simply of prayer and reading of Scripture. Now, at first, of course, not many people showed up, maybe 10, 20 people, but he was consistent week after week. And every week the pattern was this, to pray, but also to read the Sermon on the Mount, in particular the Beatitudes that he would read over and over again. Perhaps you remember those words, poor, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who are reviled, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Week after week, they gathered in prayer. Week after week, they heard those words from Jesus. On Saturday, October 7th, 1989, East Germans were called and expected to celebrate the 40th anniversary of their country. But as it turned out, there were no celebrations that day. Only demonstrations. Bold, courageous demonstrations across the country. And as a result, a severe crackdown by the government. That Monday, the members and friends, the community, chose to gather once again at St. Nicholas Church, and all eyes were on the church and what was worried might be an absolute massacre. Later it was learned that, in fact, the government's leader, Erich Honecker, who was a leader of all the German government, had ordered that the Stasi shoot protesters in Leipzig on the spot. In advance of the 5 p.m. worship service, 600 members of the Stasi, the secret police, packed in the pews in this 2,000-seat sanctuary so that they could prohibit others from gathering. You see, in the sanctuary still, even in East Germany, it was the only place in all of the country where folks could freely gather and assemble. It still remained that. They couldn't gather, they couldn't assemble in other places, in the plazas and the plazas and the schools, but they could gather in the churches, but only if they could sit in the pews. And so the Stasi tried to fill up the pews, but in this large sanctuary, they couldn't fill them all. And so the crowds began to press in nevertheless, filling every other seat. And at 5 o'clock, Pastor Führer again read from the Sermon on the Mount that we are to be salt of the earth, that we are to be light for the world. And most pointedly, he said that day to the crowd of protesters and the Stasi police, he said, "You must learn to love one another." He said, "That must be our mark. That must be our guide." Erica Braun was one of the participants. At that time, she was just a 20-year-old young woman. And she wrote these words in her journal, quote, "After the bishop offered his final blessing, he made an urgent call for nonviolence. At that point, we lit candles. We had been asked to bring one, and we all rose and quietly made our way to the front entrance of the church, and I'll never forget what I saw. In the plaza outside the church doors, tens of thousands of people were waiting quietly, all with candles in their hands. Candles that they had to hold with two hands. And suddenly it struck me, it occurred to me as to why we were asked to bring candles in the first place. Because to hold a candle in such a way that it might not burn out, one has to hold with two hands, right? And so if holding a candle with two hands, you're not holding anything at all like a stone or a club, because you can't. The peaceful march had begun. This remarkable gathering of people who had gathered outside the church quietly now began to march through the city streets. Police were in riot gear. They were in full force. East German tanks pulled into the streets. They were literally minutes away from a massacre, except no shots were fired. I mean, a Stasi officer later recalled and said, quote, "We were prepared for anything but prayers and candles." As the crowd marched past the Stasi headquarters, there was great and rising tension. What would happen next? Until, remarkably, armed police began to put down their guns. Not a shot was fired. Love one another was the pastor's command. And within that next week, several other similar peace marches were held around the country. And the next Monday at 5 p.m. at St. Nicholas Church, 120,000 people showed up again, candles in their hands. 2 days later, the East German leader, Erich Honecker, resigned. And on November 7th, 1 month later, the entire East German government resigned. And 2 days later, on November 9th, on a date and an image that is perhaps seared in your memory as it is in mind, the Berlin Wall came crashing down. Love one another was the cry. And he was right. There is no plan B. There is no alternate plan. This is what we've got. Three words that changed the world. 45 years earlier, another Lutheran pastor was facing a turning point in his life and a turning point in the history of Europe, if not the world, as two guards walked into his prison cell and said simply, "Come with us." Dietrich Bonhoeffer knew that the gallows were ready. Now, Bonhoeffer was a young man of 39, but he was even younger whenever his life took center stage in all of Germany. It was 2 days after Adolf Hitler had been elected as the chancellor for Germany, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer took the airwaves, went on the radio for a national radio audience and address when he criticized heavily the people for placing their trust in this newly elected chancellor, Adolf Hitler. Bonhoeffer's speech was passionate, it was direct, it was convincing, but it was also cut off before he was able to finish delivering it. Bonhoeffer would spend the next 12 years as a member of the German resistance movement, writing, speaking, teaching around the world, and oftentimes moving in the cover of night. In 1938, he formed an underground seminary where he taught the importance of life together, teaching that our call is first and foremost to build up the kingdom in the midst of our enemies, in which we must learn to love one another and to let love be our defining mark. He taught over and over and over again. In 1943, however, Bonhoeffer was arrested. He was arrested and accused of being involved in a plot against Hitler's life, and he was thrown in prison. But while in prison, fascinating, he formed a congregation of prisoners and of guards who prayed together and committed to share Holy Communion with one another every single day. One man wrote this, "We became brothers to one another, prisoner and guard alike." It was April 1945, less than a month before the Nazis would surrender to the Allied forces. And two men entered his cell and said, "Prisoner Bonhoeffer, come with us." One of the other prisoners watched with amazement, and he later wrote that Bonhoeffer's message that day in worship focused on the Christian's love for the enemy. He had hardly finished his last prayer when the doors were opened and Bonhoeffer was taken to an isolation cell. Then the next morning he was taken outside. He was ordered to strip off all of his clothes, and then he was led to the gallows. On the way, he turned and spoke to one of the guards, saying these words, "This is the end, but for me it is only the beginning." And he was hanged on April 9th, 1945. Love one another. Words that were essentially on his lips as he hung from the gallows that day. Three words that would change the world. As I reflect on Christian history, 2,000 years of Christian history, it strikes me, who would we be without those three words? Really, who would we be without them? And yet it also compels me to ask, if we're honest, who have we been with them? I mean, because you know, don't you? I mean, I surely hope that you've heard the message that this is the 500th commemoration of the Reformation, a remarkable event, right? That's taken us 500 years to get to this point. But once again, if we're honest, we recognize that this era, this 500-year era, is really marked by great distress in the church. It's been marked by great division in the church. And it's commemorated in a year, this year, in which there's great division all around the world. Have you heard? I mean, whether you're in conversation in a community or with government leaders, it just seems like there's division after division all over this place. Where are we now? Which begs the question, where will we be? I mean, what will the next 500 years look like? What will they be marked by? Will they likewise be marked by division or by something more? Will they be marked instead by hope? Will they be marked instead by unity? Well, I'm not altogether certain, but one thing I can say for sure, that we will face challenges in these next 500 years. We will face our own division in these next 500 years. We will face our own stress and strain as a community, as a nation, as a world, as families, as neighborhoods. There is no doubt, right? So what will be our plan as we take this next step into this next era? Well, might I suggest that we take the plan that Jesus outlined for us 2,000 years ago, simply to love one another. There's no better plan, and there's no alternative plan, is there? So might I suggest this? Might I suggest that in a world that does not know how to have a conversation any longer, does that not seem to be the case? In a world in which we are faced by so many divisions, that perhaps the church become that place where we can actually have conversations that matter. That the church can create space around conversations in which we can bring differences of opinion, right? We can bring different approaches to the world's problems. I don't know what they might be. I mean, maybe they're problems around race relations or education or an angel statue or whatever that might be. But guess what? The church creates space for that conversation and then dares to say that as you converse, as you engage in conversation with your neighbor, with your brother, that you do so by putting on the lens through which you look, the lenses that say, love one another. That decisions that you make or opinions that you form are rooted in those words of Jesus to love the other, right? And suddenly, friends, the world can be changed. Your community can be changed. Your family, your neighborhoods, they can be changed because of words that matter. A I will admit that it seems as though we've allowed Hallmark to capture this word and turned it into a sort of a warm, fuzzy kind of word. But this word is profound for us to love each other, correct? And so might we be the church that does just that. That we dare to allow this world to be in conversation. That we dare to create space for this world to gather around tables with brothers and sisters and to have hard words with one another, but also to be a church that dares in the midst of that conversation to hold up candles of light and truth and love. Might we be that church? Might we be what Christ begs us to be, a community that is defined, a community that is marked by our love for one another. Amen.